Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, Friday is National Heat Stroke Prevention Day. We talk about preventing pediatric vehicular heat stroke. The CEO of Gun Lake Investments joins in to talk about the opening of the Sweetgrass Moon Cafe. Print Day is Saturday. We talk about printmaking and making art communal. Founders Brewing Company does local work through their community giving partner program. We talk about the work they're doing with the Grand Rapids Jazz Orchestra. And May is National Water Safety Month. We talk about teaching your child how to swim.
It's National Heat Stroke Prevention Day tomorrow. The NHTSA launching annual campaign around pediatric vehicular heat stroke. It's the leading cause of non-crash vehicle-related fatalities for kids age 14 and under, something we all need to know. I turn to you, Laura Dunn, on behalf of the NHTSA, you a highway safety specialist. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Of course, NHTSA, that National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, anything with safety in its word is important. And is prevention key as we come upon a prevention day tomorrow, Laura?
Absolutely. We want to get the word out there about the dangers that hot vehicles pose to children and what parents and caregivers can do to prevent these tragedies.
Can you reiterate, I guess, a statistic or two? I did not realize there's a leading cause here.
Yeah, absolutely. So unfortunately, we see an average of about 37 children die every year in hot cars, and more than 1,000 children have lost their lives since 1998. So unfortunately, in 2025, 31 children died from heat stroke. And in 2024, we lost 39 children. So this happens in three ways. The first of which is when children are forgotten in a vehicle by a parent or a caregiver. Secondly, children gain access to unlocked vehicles on their own and they're unable to get out. And the third is when children are intentionally left by a parent or a caregiver, oftentimes to do a quick errand or something like that.
Thank you for that reminder. It could be a mistake, but a costly mistake. You and the Ad Council are raising awareness of the risk of hot car deaths. Come tomorrow. Tell us more.
Absolutely. We have some new public service announcements as part of our Never Happens campaign with the Ad Council. And these focus on the left behind scenario and show parents just how dangerous that choice can be. So this campaign is available in both English and Spanish, and audiences can find those resources at nhtsa.gov/heatstroke.
And this does come down to stop, look, and lock.
That's right. So it focuses on that common scenario where a parent or caregiver chooses to leave their child in the car for just a second. And it often underestimates how fast a car can become really dangerous and deadly temperatures for children. And we encourage parents to incorporate stop, look, lock into their daily routine. And these kind of deaths can be prevented. Parents say often that they'll never do things that eventually become reality for them. And we want to remind them that hot car deaths can happen to them, but they are 100% preventable.
And remind me, it doesn't have to be 100 degrees out. Our cars can get hot pretty quickly with the right math here.
That's right. It doesn't have to be the hottest day of the year. And unfortunately, we've seen heat stroke deaths in temperatures when it's only about 60 degrees outside. So this can happen anywhere throughout the year, not just in the summer. We've had heat stroke deaths in Maine, Minnesota, and North Dakota, as well as where we see it more frequently in some of those Sun Belt states. So this really is something that everybody should be aware of.
Thank you for that. And obviously, this is important as not only is your highway safety, your NHTSA, important to prevent us from crashing, but also this topic of heat stroke. Hence, I imagine the reason for a campaign and a whole day presented to this.
That's right. And every year, we have these preventable fatalities, and we want to raise awareness for the community about how to prevent these deaths.
What else do we need to know?
I would love to talk about some tips that parents and caregivers do to protect their children. First of all, never leave your child in a car, even if you think you'll only be gone for a minute. And when you're driving with your child, remember to always look to make sure that your child hasn't been left behind in the car seats. If your child goes to preschool or childcare, I would encourage you to arrange for your childcare provider to call you if your child hasn't arrived in the morning at their usual time within about 10 to 15 minutes. Alert the other adults, you know, in your life that your child hasn't arrived, and make sure that you guys can locate that child. Additionally, you can put a bag or something that you need for the day in your back seat with your child, and it kind of builds in another layer of protection for you to make sure that you have to open that back door and look in your back seat before leaving the vehicle. Another thing that parents and caregivers can do is have that conversation with your children that cars are never a safe place to play and never a safe place to leave a child. Teach your children that you don't play in vehicles. And when you're not driving, make sure that your vehicle is locked and your keys and your key fobs are stored up and away and out of reach of children.
Thank you for that. And again, I'll put these in motion, well, not only today, but how about tomorrow, National Heat Stroke Prevention Day. How do we find out more information about this conversation and more, Laura Dunn?
If parents and caregivers want more information, we encourage them to visit our website at nhtsa.gov/heatstroke. We have tips and resources in both English and Spanish about how to prevent hot car deaths.
Thanks. Stop, look, lock. Take care to you on behalf of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Enjoy your day. Have you been to Sweetgrass Moon Cafe? Well, you are invited, you, the community, to experience indigenous values and modern hospitality. Let's turn to you with all of the information we need. You even brought the sweets in. I'm going to have to run an extra mile. Monica King, CEO of Gun Lake Investments. Good morning.
Good morning, Shelley.
A muffin or a donut a day keeps the doctor away, right?
Yeah. Something like that.
That is not a fact. Oh, Monica, I'm glad that you are here. Much to talk about Gun Lake Investments under your leadership. But yes, you do know the importance of new concepts, a cafe that is in a modular building developed with, looks like, B-Cube manufacturing and more. So let's start with who you are, Gun Lake Investments.
Sure. I'm the CEO. I have the honor and privilege of serving the Gun Lake Tribe. Gun Lake Investments is the non-gaming private investment arm for the tribe. And we have a variety of investments across our portfolio, anything from real estate to active operating companies, and of course, this new development.
What is this new development, in your words?
Yeah, we are so proud and so excited to introduce Sweetgrass Moon Cafe. We opened on April 13th. It is a bakery, coffee, and we do have some entrees offerings. It's a new, it's a concept inspired by Native American influence. And really special. So on the coffee side, we have partnered with One Big Island in Space, and we are sourcing all of our coffee farm direct. So we actually went down, a group of us, with a group from One Big Island in Space to Chiapas, Mexico, and got to meet a lot of the small producers and not only learn about the history and the area of the coffee industry, but we got to meet the producers. We got to climb up and down the mountainsides and their small farms and really learn about everything from, planting to the harvest to the processing. It was quite incredible. And we are proud to be able to, direct source, because there's a lot of intermediaries that really strip away profit from the farmers.
Yeah, you're quoted as, you see firsthand that many of these hardworking farmers operate with very limited resources to support their families, and now this partnership can be a big deal. Where are you located?
We are located across from the Gun Lake Casino in Wayland, Michigan, and we had opened in last year a couple of new concepts as well. Hot and Now came back in a new style. It's right next to the new Hot and Now. And it's behind Noonday Market. We have kind of a campus set up now. We've got Noonday Market, C-Store and gas station. We've got Witch Witch and Pachugo down there, Hot and Now, and then Sweetgrass Moon Cafe is our latest.
You know, a growing area surrounding Gun Lake Casino. What will be your hours for Sweetgrass Moon Cafe?
Yeah, so Monday through Friday, we are open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, we're open 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
What you serving besides what you brought in here?
Oh, gosh, yeah, all sorts of wonderful things. So we've got a whole variety of coffee and espresso drinks, some specialty items. You'll see like lavender lattes, wicked matchas, elderberry hibiscus teas, snowy chais, blueberry pancake lattes. We've got just about anything that you want us to make, we can do. Smoothies. We've got a lot of delicious baked goods, which we tried to bring you a good sampling of today. We do most of those in-house. Muffins, sweetbreads, cookies, vegan croissants, and then we are partnered with Sprinkles Donuts as well.
So of course, yes.
They are absolutely wonderful, and we've been working with them, and that's been a great partnership. As far as the entree side, some native influence. We've got Three Sisters rice bowls with sumac chicken and salmon options, bison chili, chicken and wild rice soup, elderberry salad, and we also have some really yummy maple butter corn muffins to go with all that.
Monica,
and we will be rotating in some new culinary offerings too as we go. So we'll have a rotating lineup, and that'll be something special too.
Exciting. The aim is to deliver a familiar yet meaningful experience by blending, as you're mentioning, modern cafe staples with indigenous cultural connections.
Yes.
Will I know this when I walk in?
You should. Yeah, even on the side of our building, we have a nod to something that influences our culture, the Seven Grandfather Teachings. So we talk about actively within our businesses wisdom, truth, humility, love, bravery, respect, and honesty. So we wanted to be able to bring that to the public, and it's front and center on the side of our building when you go through our drive-thru, just explaining how we view those things. And the Three Sisters elements will be talking in store through, you know, videos and other things just about Native-influenced ingredients, what those are. And then we'll also be talking a lot about just the tribal history and culture, and also that of our Farm Direct partners.
How can the community help? And we all know the answer.
Yeah, show up. We'd love for you to try us out and just experience it for yourself.
And local workers and bakers and all that
stuff.
Oh,
yes. We have an amazing crew. We've hired a lot of folks over the last year, and this crew is just a lot of fun. I stopped in there this morning to get all our baked goodies, and I just love seeing their smiling faces.
We've got to feed the radio crew and yet entice us to head your way. How are things with Gun Lake Casino?
Doing very well. If you haven't been there in a while, you should check that out as well. A lot of changes with the resort opening, the hotel and the Oasis. Like you said, that's been wonderful to see.
Yes. And more projects under your leadership with Gun Lake Investments?
Oh, always. Yep. We're actively working on a couple of investments and developments. So more to come there.
Good. All right. Well, again, full circle, lots of partnerships bringing Sweetgrass Moon Cafe to life, this new concept. It's a modern modular building is the key here, right?
Yeah. So we dropped it in one day, the entire building. And that was the same with Hot and Now. So we're B-Cube Manufacturing in Alpena. Pretty incredible. Everything was built and then trucked down and installed. Now, this one was a little different than Hot and Now. We installed it in the middle of December. So you can imagine it was definitely a winter, cold, snowy, windy day and a little more nerve-wracking, but pretty incredible what you're able to do. So much more efficient than traditional build.
And what am I eating at Hot and Now?
Oh, yeah. So we took this launch, this version, back to the basics. So, you know, burgers, olive burgers, some, you know, chicken bites and fries and cheesy tots, some of the original specialties.
Yes. One has to eat.
Yes.
Yes.
You can definitely eat on the Noonday campus.
and obviously support our whole Gun Lake Casino atmosphere, what has been done by you with Gun Lake Investments and more. Anything else you'd like to share?
No, it's just been a pleasure. Thank you, Shelley. And yeah, come on out. We'd love to see everybody.
I grabbed the muffins and bread. Joe took the donuts and the rest will spread your love. All right, Sweetgrass Moon Cafe, location one more time, and how do I find out more information?
All right, it's located across the street from Gun Lake Casino, and you can find more information on our social media or by going to sweetgrassmooncafe.com.
Moon, the key word here?
Yeah, Sweetgrass Moon. Yeah.
Nice. Thanks to you. Take care.
Thank you.
Let's speak with you. Visual artist Robin Smith, professor emeritus at California's Monterey Peninsula College. Good work you do. Founder of Print Day. Did you know there was such in May? Let's talk about it, this global gathering of professional amateur printmakers. Good morning to you, Robin.
Hello. Good morning.
Early morning to you in Cali land, I'm sure. Thanks for your talents, and be careful what you wish for when you find a print day in May, and it's what, May 2?
May 2nd this year. It's always the first Saturday in May.
What is Print Day?
Print Day is a day that people all around the world set aside everything else they're doing and make time for themselves to do what they love, which in this case is making prints. And people all over the world do this. We have tens of thousands of followers. And we have a presence on social media. We have printdayinmay.com, so people can upload their images to our blog or to social media. They can hashtag our sponsors and win prizes. All the information is on our website. But it is completely free, non-transactional, and a totally positive experience.
That is what is key. How, let's dig into printmaking first of all. What's been your journey?
Well, printmaking for me began when I was already out of graduate school, already teaching art and design at various colleges and universities, eventually landing at Monterey Peninsula College. But I was trained as a printmaker, drawer, sculptor at Rhode Island School of Design, and never really did any printmaking until later. So I had a full career already, and it flowed easily from my painting practice. Printmaking is somewhat of a magical process where one transfers a mark from one surface to another, usually through pressure. And in that transfer, something magic ensues, and it's extremely addictive and wonderful. You can do things like make a potato print like you did when you were, in grade school.
Do remember that.
It's so much fun. You just cut a potato in half, carve a little bit out of one surface, dip it in some ink, and stamp it onto a surface. So that would be, a pretty simple way to go. Lipstick on a margarita glass, pretty simple way to go. But you can also think about lithography and screen printing and etching and engraving. And, the very first prints were in the caves in Europe, where people dipped their own hands in some kind of pigment and touched the cave walls. So making a print is an impulse that runs through human beings.
How do you foresee in your land celebrating Print Day on May 2nd?
Well, for me, it's very exciting this year because I've been asked to go to the Printopia Festival in Auckland, New Zealand, which is a huge thrill. It's a five-year-old at this point festival of printmaking. And they're bringing me and a few more of our team to Auckland to talk about the origins, the history, the life of Print Day in May. So I will be speaking in front of a whole bunch of people on Friday night, the 1st, and then on Saturday, the 2nd, I'll be printing with hundreds of people in Auckland, New Zealand.
And for one who may want to get into printing or wants to celebrate in their own way, what are you recommending in local towns and cities?
Well, you can print out of your garage. You can call around to various print shops in your area and see if anybody is working. You can even email us at, if you go to printama.com, our email address is there. You can ask us if we know anybody who's printing in your area. But really, it's something that you can do with a couple of friends. People are doing print parties all over the world. And you can grab a couple people and make potato prints, or if you're a printmaker, you can finish that edition you were working on, embark on something new, carve a block, you know, print anything you like, and know that you are printing with tens of thousands of other people in about 100 countries around the globe. And we'll be live feeding on Instagram this year from Auckland. So you can follow the fun on our Instagram and just, you know that you're doing something really special with a whole lot of other people in the world.
Nice. Visual artist Professor Robin Smith, Professor Emeritus, California's Monterey Peninsula College, talking about this print day, May 2nd, for all she founded. And, of course, we'd hop a plane and join you in person in the New Zealand, Australia, and the whole area. But if we can do what you are doing here in our own backyard, that's even cool. Lots of students studying this craft for the future, Robin?
Well, you know, it began at a community college. It began at Monterey Peninsula College. And I worked with students for, you know, many, many years doing this. And they ran the website and the blog, and it was just a tremendous effort. Since retirement, I'm working with a small team on my own without my students, and I miss them. So I would love for this to become curriculum, you know, all over the world. You could do it at every level, from nursery school to graduate school. And I do harbor a wish for that to occur at some point, where it becomes the thing that end of May, printmakers, you know, print students all over the world know that they will be participating in this incredible event.
Wishes can come true, and you are bound to rewire instead of retire, as they say. All right, we're talking print day in May. Give me details one more time, and again, how to follow along where you are.
Well, go to printdayinmay.com and look at our website, register. The registration is free. You don't have to do it, but it allows us to count you in our head count, and it gives you access to posting your work on our blog and possibly winning prizes. So I urge you to register and just take a moment sometime during the 24-hour period of May 2nd, make a print, feel good about it, and let us know what you're up to.
Potatoes on my grocery list. How's that?
Perfect.
Thank you, Robin Smith, for the work you do and the finding of Print Day and your continued giving back. Take care.
Thank you.
So let's talk some jazz. A big night this Saturday night with those in the house. I'm so lucky to speak with you, Molly Rent, Communications and Community Relations Specialist with Founders Brewing CO. Good that you are here, Molly.
So happy to be here. Thanks for having us.
You know about the microphone. James, we'll call you Doc. Dr. Sawyer from the Grand Rapids Jazz Orchestra. Where do we... let's see. Which instrument are you playing on Jazz on Tap?
I'm the trumpet player. In fact, I'm the trumpet player playing the lead part there.
Okay, we might have to just hear more trumpet than James. No, we would never do that. James, Dr. Sawyer, thank you. Grand Rapids Jazz Orchestra, where we all do get together this Saturday night. There's even a CD, Dr. Sawyer, Jazz on Tap, that was recorded at Founders?
At Founders, yes.
Wow. All right, Molly, how is Founders these days? Who and what is Founders, for one who's never heard?
Oh, man. Well, we're doing great. Yeah, we're really focusing on these community partnerships where So happy to be partnering with WGVU this quarter, all quarter long, April through June. So coming up with some great programming ideas, such as this jazz night this Saturday. In addition to that, we are focusing on our social impact tap. We've got a beer on tap all quarter long that supports WGVU as well, $1 per pour. We've got a new beer coming out this Friday called Viewers Like Brew, made especially for the partnership. So we're really excited. We got a lot of fun stuff going on. Of course, gearing up for the amphitheater. There's never a dull moment. So
we are a growing city, that's for sure. And yes, public media days. The formal day is tomorrow, and of course, celebrating at your founders come Saturday. And are you celebrating today this International Jazz Day, James Doc Sawyer?
We are. This is a really special week for us. We just did a big event at the Thornapple Arts Council Festival last weekend, and then to move that right into this, what we're doing, partnering with Founders, that's really special for us. Founders has actually been the home of the Grand Rapids Jazz Orchestra since the late 90s, and it was a little short hiatus. We were gone, but Paul Winslow, the entertainment director, connected with me, and we came back last year, and we are so excited to be back home.
Yes, and tell me about your trumpet.
Okay.
I played trumpet in high school a bit, along with the flugelhorn, so I know that.
Well, our group, I'm one of four trumpet players that's in the ensemble, but it's a 16-piece ensemble. We historically, a little bit about the ensemble. If you remember Bruce Early, he was the originator of the ensemble, and Grand Rapids Jazz Orchestra has been in existence for nearly 50 years, and it's really special that we've been able to continue doing live jazz in the Grand Rapids area. A lot of our members are performers. In fact, they're kind of the first call guys with the symphony if ever needed, and those kind of things. So we've got some really great players in the ensemble.
So Founders Brewing is more than just beer, Molly.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we have kind of reformatted our giving strategy, our community giving strategy, that's been super fun. So starting in 2025, we started these quarterly partnerships. So we get to really know an organization for an entire quarter, dream up a bunch of fun programming that really fits the needs of the organization, go out and volunteer if they have opportunities to do that. Of course, always raising money through the beer as well, and then give kind of a baseline donation too. So we're always kind of thinking up unique events that really work for that organization. And then, of course, responding to day-to-day asks here and there, you know, auction items and supporting different events going on around town as well. So, yeah, we're staying busy.
All right, so if one of the many nonprofits I serve with need a gift card, I'm coming to you.
Absolutely.
But it just gets us in the door.
We got you.
Staying with you, Molly, and then back to you, James. So tomorrow, are you tapping Viewers Like Brew?
Yeah, we are. Yep. That's the name. I know. So we brewed it specially for the partnership. So it's a German-style Helles lager. So it's kind of malt-forward, still light, crisp, refreshing, really accessible. So for these social impact tap beers that we call them, we try to make them really special, memorable, but also really accessible for a lot of folks to drink. So, you know, the goal is to raise as much money for our partner as possible. So we want to sell a lot of pints because it raises a lot of money for our partner. So
yes, there we are. I'm holding your CD, as we mentioned, Jazz on Tap. James Doc Sawyer, I see you standing with your trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
I'll play a minute of one of the songs.
Okay.
Which would you like us to share in addition to Jazz on Tap?
From that album, the one that we're really proud of and we play quite a bit is Dear Old Stockholm.
Oh, what number is that?
That's number 10.
All right. Why is that special?
Well, that one, was the one that kind of put us over the top in terms of CD sales and whatnot. And it's one of those, when we get to the big climax of it, we get a big rousing applause, and we're not even done with the song yet. It's really cool.
You're like, wait for it.
Yeah, right.
Let's hear a sample.
It really is.
CD to hear more of that, but we were waiting for it to come, Dr. Sawyer, and it did. Expand on that, if you would.
Well, with that, along with our latest CD, Behind the Mask, and it's really funny when you start to think about our relationship with Founders and how we did this particular CD, Behind the Mask. Prior to 2020, when things sort of shut down, we were performing all the time at Founders. Well, once things kind of shut down with the pandemic and whatnot, we were all kind of stuck at home. So we decided, well, let's do a CD where we all record our parts in our homes.
Yes.
And if you actually go to our website, grjo.com, you'll see a recording of and pictures of all of the band members recording their parts. And we performed this CD, and we called the CD Behind the Mask. So it was pretty cool to see all of the players do that.
Yep.
But just kind of piggybacking on that, we're really proud to be able to partner with GVU and Founders to put this together, because this is just, like I said, this is like coming home for us. This is really great.
That is so cool.
The other thing I'd like to add is we also are partners with another nonprofit, the West Michigan Jazz Society. And there's a scholarship that we are partnering with them in called the Jimmy Forrest Jazz Scholarship, and it's for graduating seniors who plan to major in jazz studies at the college level. And it's kind of funny, the scholarship deadline is tonight.
Uh-oh.
So we're asking students to go to WMICHJAZZ.org to apply for the scholarship. Those selected winners will receive a scholarship to college, but they also get the opportunity to perform with the Grand Rapids Jazz Orchestra at Jazz in the Park this summer. So
yes,
that's going to be really fantastic.
No, that is right around the corner at Millennium Park for sure.
Yeah.
Yes. Molly, remind me about Saturday night, where you are celebrating Public Media Days. We are hearing the orchestra. What time do you need me there?
Music starts at 7, kicks off with the Grand Rapids Jazz Orchestra, followed by another great local jazz act, Candid Antics. So they are kind of a little more progressive jazz. They play a lot of shows these days. We're really excited to have them as well. There will be a $5 suggested donation to WGVU. So we'll take cash. We'll have buckets. I just bought myself a shiny new bell to ring the bell every time someone makes a donation.
Thank you.
Hype up the crowd.
This better be work on your wrist action there. It better be nonstop.
And you can add the donation to your tab as well. So very easy. We'll have an info booth there with WGVU and Founders folks hanging out all evening. Like I said, music starts at 7. We ends at around 10:30. So come on out and support a great cause. And you know, ironically, it's actually Grand Valley's graduation as well.
That's
so
right.
Supporting a Grand Valley institution, celebrating students graduating. So it's going to be a great, great night.
Great weekend and great night. And again, hearing the talents of Grand Rapids, the Grand Rapids Jazz Orchestra, and of course, wonderful Founders. What's my weather for that? Can I sit outside yet on Saturday night? Well, Saturday, mostly sunny, high near 50. Well, it might be a little chilly.
We're crossing our fingers.
Well, let's
cross
our fingers.
Bring a jacket.
Sunshine, no, can't hurt at all. It will not stop the trumpeter, as they say. We're going to go out with you sharing what we're going to hear, and then Molly, I'll have you give me all the details one more time.
Okay. Well, I kind of preface it, as I mentioned, Bruce Early was the originator of the ensemble. After his passing, Bob Nixon and a lot of people will remember Tim Fransek, a really great drummer here in town, they kept the band going and sustained the tradition and the community presence of the ensemble. Well, Bob Nixon is an accomplished composer and arranger. And this piece that you're going to hear was arranged by him. It's called Moose and Squirrel. It's the theme from the Rocky and Bullwinkle show. And we try to play it quite a bit because it's really a cool tune to hear. And the audience just loves it, especially those of us that remember Rocky and Bullwinkle. So this is a lot of fun to listen to.
All right, Molly, before we keep listening to Moose and Squirrel, love it, tell me details for, from today on.
From today on, yeah. Well, Saturday night, benefit for WGVU Public Media at Founders Tap Room. Music starts at 7 p.m., $5 suggested donation, Grand Rapids Jazz Orchestra, Candid Antics. It's Public Media Giving Days we're celebrating. It's going to be a great time. So we've got parking. It's going to be a beautiful day. Come on out and support public media.
Wonderful. Again, Grand Rapids Jazz Orchestra, along with Founders Brewing and WGVU, a wonderful weekend, especially Saturday night. Okay, Rocky and Bullwinkle, right? I remember. Thank you all. I'll ask my next guest if she has swam yet this morning, but hopefully a tot or two has. Good to introduce you to our world of, informing, educating, and entertaining when it comes to swimming. So glad you're here, Annalisa Dalla, talking all things Aquatot Swim School, GR. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome. Are you a swimmer?
Not all the time, but I've always loved the water, especially as a kid. So it was so much fun when I got to be able to help other children find their joy for swim.
How important is it that we are about to talk about National Water Safety?
Yeah, so National Water Safety Month is the month of May. With this, it's just crucial that we're able to raise awareness for water safety within our community, especially with drowning being the leading cause of death for children ages 1 to 4. And then it's the second leading cause for kiddos 5 to 14. And it's the third for people 15 to 24. So it's just really crucial that we're able to get that awareness for water safety present, especially with 70% of those incidences happening when they weren't supposed to be around the water that day. So it's great when families are prepared when they go, but it's also crucial that they're prepared for when unexpected situations might occur.
And we here in Michigan, blessed with much water. Aquatots Swim School, Grand Rapids, you the general manager. Let's talk about your swim school.
Yeah, so at Aquatots, Aquatots itself has actually been open for over 35 years now. We were founded in Arizona in 1991. So now we are worldwide. We have over 160 locations worldwide. So our school itself opened here in Grand Rapids in August of 2023. We do have two other West Michigan schools as well. So our Portage School opened in April of 2023, and then our Holland School opened in March of 2024. And it's just such an amazing job, at least that I get to do, being able to make sure that children get to learn these crucial life-saving safety skills, which is exactly what our curriculum is centered around. So Really, we're emphasizing those breath control skills, independently floating on their front and backs and rolling over in the water so that if they did fall in, they could roll over and safely find air. Especially in those beginner levels, we work on them safely climbing out of the pool and reaching for the pool's edge so that they know what to do in a situation like that. When it comes to Water Safety Month, we actually change up our lessons a little bit for a week out of the month where we talk to the children a little bit more about what would you do if you saw someone who needed some help in the water. Especially for children, their first instinct typically is to go help them, but that's not always the most safe option for everyone involved. So during Water Safety Week that we will have in May, we go over just a little bit more of what to do in emergency situations with our students. And we also give them the opportunity to swim in their regular class with their clothes on so they can feel the difference of what it feels like to be in the water when you have your clothes on with that extra weight versus when you are prepared with your swimsuit.
Not bad for the parent to learn that as well. Aquatont Swim School, GR, other places as well, which is wonderful. Does this work through membership? Tell me about the one who's ready to get involved.
Of course, yeah. So we have different yearly registration options, which could include like our free family open swim we have every week, Monday through Friday, 10 to 3. Anyone's welcome to come in for that. It's just an additional charge if you're not with a part of that registration group, but anyone in the community is welcome to come in for that every week, Monday through Friday, 10 to 3. And then as far as our lessons go for all of our classes, they are a 4-to-1 student teacher ratio in our 90-degree pool, especially for younger kiddos. That just really helps them feel a lot more comfortable when they're learning new things and in an unfamiliar environment as well. But our tuition is just based monthly, so you just pay per month. We don't charge per class, so you choose the same day and time to swim each week. So like if there are 5 Mondays in the month, you just get that bonus class on us because we just charge monthly instead.
Nice. Talking all things Aquatont Swim School, GR, and more with General Manager Annalisa Dallad. Annalisa, tell me a little bit more about how soon one should be entering a TOT.
Yeah. So our program itself starts as young as 4 months old, especially when they are very young and their brains are developing so fast. They can gain crazy amounts of skills while they're in swim lessons, and they're in parent taught classes until they turn 2.5. If you're in the program for that entire time, we have children who are able to swim independently to their parent in the pool, and they're also able to go all the way down to the bottom of the pool to grab a diving ring by the end of their parent taught lessons. So I would say, especially when it comes to just that wow factor of progress, you see it the most with those parent taught lessons.
I don't even need to ask this next question, but all of your instructors are well-versed in water safety and know what they're doing?
Yes, yes. We have an internal water safety instructor certification process. So it includes over 60-plus hours of training, which we do different learning skill training practices in the pool with them. They have to observe a certain amount of classes and interact with a certain amount of students before they can have their own lessons as well. And then we also do meetings with our staff where we revisit safety and other important aspects of our program monthly.
Yes. Have you seen kids grow up there?
Yes. That's one of the joys of getting to do what we do, is especially now that we've been open for a couple years, our babies who started with us, they're starting to have younger siblings and they're growing up to be in their own levels without their parents. And that's really one of the joys of getting to do what we do, is getting to watch those families grow and help them with that as well.
And you said, Annalisa, one of the key instructions is to get a tot to flip over, you say? Was that important?
Yes, to roll over in the water so that they can safely find air when resting on their backs. And swim lessons themselves have been proven to reduce the risks of drowning by over 80%. So we mainly focus on those life-saving safety skills before we work on more technique.
And as you mentioned, some special programming come the month of May, which starts tomorrow, to enhance this National Water Safety Month.
Yes.
Yes. All right. I guess next step is get involved, right?
Right. Right. Exactly.
What's my, so start at 4 months. What's my end age? When am I not a tot?
For our group lessons, it goes until 12 years old, but we do also have a separate adult program, which we've had people ages 13 all the way to 75 participate in our adult program. So we really do have options for all ages.
Wonderful. Okay, how do I find out more information?
You can always visit our AquaTots site, or you can always give us a call at 616-213-0040. We also have an email listed where you can submit any other questions that you may have, and those are answered daily.
Classes today?
Yes, we have classes 7 days a week. The times for classes just vary. So we actually have morning lessons Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Fridays, Saturday, Sunday. And then we have evening options available Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday.
No excuse. Love the smell of chlorine. There we are. All right, Annalisa, thank you for your leadership and this reminder. May is National Water Safety Month. Get yourself schooled up if you're a tot and or more AquaTot Swim School GR. One more time, that best website.
The website is just aquatots.com. And then you can always give us a call at 616-213-0040.
All right. You rock. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Shelly.
Your inspiration for the day, according to Anne Frank, no one has ever become poor by giving. Well, so give. Tomorrow, our public media giving day. We'll talk a bit about that live tomorrow. Hope you enjoy the show. Have a good day.